My name is Brandon. My wife, Christine, and I have been at Mission for 5 years. We've spent most of those 5 years serving in the high school ministry. So how many of you have older siblings in that high school ministry? I feel your pain. No, we love the ministry. It's good students. They've been a huge blessing in our lives. They really have, even Dylan. So I grew up in a small town, and the natural question is, well, how small is that? And so, you know, in Gilbert, okay, area, you have Santan Village. Yeah, you have Santan Village, Harkins Theater. You have water parks that are, you know, close enough. A Diamondbacks game if you feel like wasting your money. You know, there's a lot of things that you can go to and enjoy. Growing up, I had the Verde River and a lot of firecrackers. We did get a stoplight once. Took a field trip to see that. That was pretty cool. I think there was like 6 accidents in the first week. What's green mean? So it just, you know, very, very, very small town. But how many of you, I think we can relate on some level, even, you know, small town, big town, whatever you, wherever you grow up, how many of you have chores? Anybody here have chores? Okay. I didn't have a set list of chores that I had to do every day. I mean, I had to brush my teeth and shower, which to me was a chore. But I didn't have, like, set things I had to do. But, you know, if I was asked to do chores a lot, and, you know, they asked me the first time, and I'm like, fine, you know, and I go do my chore. And then they asked me to do another chore, like, right after that, and immediately I'm like, you guys treat me like Cinderella. Later on in life, I realized that was a bad example for various reasons. But there was a lot of chores I just, but there was one in particular, okay, that I just couldn't stand, and that was mowing the yard. And now, hold on a second. No. Okay, this is not the Phoenix metropolitan patch of grass, okay? And like my yard right now, I could like line up on one end, go to the other in like 1.2 seconds, okay? And I'm not a very fast man. This was an acre, okay? My house was exactly in the middle. This was an entire acre of grass. If you don't know what that means, just think of like your yard times like 30, I think. So huge yard. And I had a push mower, okay, to mow this entire yard. And this isn't like, you know, you see like on the commercials, you know, like someone mowing the yard, like, you know, they're like, nah, 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 like they can do it with one hand and smile and wave, like, hey, neighbor, okay, and they can keep going. And this isn't the type of grass that you see like Morrison Ranch where it's like green and flush and level. No, this was like weed grass with debris, and it was flat, but there was like potholes and different things like that. So, I mean, I got this old push mower, and I'm just doing this stuff and getting stuck and having to, like, lift it up. And, okay, and go to, and not only that, but there's, like, hazards all over the place. I remember I ran into this bush one time, and apparently there was a beehive in it. So I ran it like this, and all of a sudden it's like, and I'm like, oh. You know, I'm, like, not very smart, so I'm like, wow. And next thing you know, one in the mouth. If you, like, watched Winnie the Pooh when you're a kid, you know, it's like, my lips, I was like, it stung me. The little terrorist bit me on the lip as I spit him out. And so my lip immediately was just like, I'm like, I got stuck. You know, my lip just like swole up. And so not only that, we had a lot of animals. Animals go poop. So we had this huge yard, and they graciously had their pockets of danger zones that they would go into. And growing up, you just knew you didn't go play in those areas. But when you're mowing, you have no choice. And if you've never experienced this before, you know, the poop dries up and I'm like getting near the danger zone. I'm like, not again. And I'm sweating. I sweat a lot. I'm going through these danger zones and, you know, like the poop's dry. It's just like in the air. It's just like, oh, I'm like, ah, no. You know, and you just have to do it. So it's just a very traumatizing experience as a child. However, there was one chore that I enjoyed. Okay, shocking. There was one that I enjoyed. And it made me feel like a rough and tough man. I mean, I'm talking like real flannel, the Duck Dynasty beard, the 4-inch beanie to prevent frostbite. Okay? Anybody have any idea what that is?
Chopping wood.
Hey, someone said taking out the garbage last night. And I was like, huh? Chopping wood. Chopping wood. My dad would say, son, I need to go chop some wood. You say, why? we had a fireplace that was our only source of heat during the winter months. Okay, we didn't have a heater. We had a fireplace. And so we'd have to chop wood down to size and put it in the fireplace. It just made me feel like a man. You know, it just was one of those things where I'm like, yes. But imagine if my dad says, son, I need you to go chop firewood. He gives me this task. And he says, here. Well, first off, knowing fully that I'm not capable of just going out with my bare hands and like, duck! Okay, I can't do that, right? So he has to equip me with a tool. Imagine if he would have given me a toothbrush. Here, son, go chop firewood. Does firewood have cavities? I don't know what to do. Okay, no, that would have been horrible. That would have been horrible. My dad, who loves me, who gives me this task, who wants me to complete the task, because we need to heat the house, there's a purpose, right? He gave me an axe. Ugh. He hands me this axe. It's heavy and sharp and dangerous. And my first reaction is, don't tell mom. Okay? So I need to take this axe to go out to the fire when, you know, it's like, that's really dangerous. Because if you miss, there's only one thing there. And so I just feel empowered, right? But with this axe in my hand, I know I can complete the task. I know that I'm fully equipped to do what my dad has asked me to do. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Ooh, already out of breath. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. While you're going there, 2 weeks ago on Easter, you guys, obviously we learned about, you know, the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus, and what that means for all of humanity. And then last week, Shane talked about the what's next. Specifically, you know, the great commission given to us by Jesus. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's where we're going to camp out. That last part. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Just as a heads up, I'm going to be jumping around to a lot of verses to kind of back up what I'm saying. So if you can flip that fast, good for you. If not, this is kind of where you can stay. And if we look at just this one verse, it can be confusing because we have the resurrected Jesus, okay? So the disciples, they just dealt with this, you know, the crucifixion and the emotion of that and the resurrection and the shock of that. And then Jesus is appearing to them and and in the context, he is ascending back to heaven. He's not dying again. He's fully alive, fully in flesh, but he's leaving them. He's ascending into heaven. And yet in this last part, he says, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so immediately it can be kind of confusing if this is all we have, because then you start to think, is this like a guardian angel type thing here? You know, you like usually, you know, like a professional athlete like loses a loved one and he has a really good game. They're interviewing and they're like, yeah, my dad was with me the whole time. And is that kind of what we're talking about here? Well, fortunately, this isn't the only verse on this subject. It's in John 14:16, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. Further down it says, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. John 16:7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. So essentially, Jesus is saying, yes, I'm leaving. Here's this great commission, okay, that you learned about last week. Here's this great commission, but it is for your benefit that I go, because I'm going to send someone, not something, someone to you. So who is Jesus talking about? And the Bible's very, very clear. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, you got to understand, the point of my message today isn't to try and help you fully understand the Holy Spirit, because frankly, that's impossible. It's impossible. Okay? Just let that sink in. It's impossible. My son, who's nearly five, is in the stage of asking questions about everything. And so some days I have energy to try and answer the question fully, you know, so like if he says something like, you know, Dada, where did the stars go? I can't see the stars. You know, and sometimes I'm not very scientific, okay, so if you're like advanced science in your, you know, school or whatever, just, okay, give me some grace here. I try and like, well, son, you know, we live in the city, and so there's lots of lights, and the kind of, we just can't see them because of the city sun, and, okay, that's about as good as I got. But there are most days where I just don't have the energy. So, like, when he asked me that question, like, where did the stars go, I usually end up saying something really dumb, like, the moon decided to play Pac-Man and ate all the stars. If you don't know what Pac-Man is, Google it, you'll find that funny. However, when my son asks about God or the Bible, I do try and fully answer the question, all right? I want to give him and build up in him biblical truth about God and the Bible. But honestly, my nearly five-year-old son has questions. You know, so like when he comes up to me and he's like, Dad, where does God come from? Who made God? Well, ask your mother. Here's a sucker. I mean, he has questions that I just can't fully answer. I mean, I could tell him, like, son, look, you know, the Bible reveals that God's outside of time and he's outside of space and God is eternal. And you know, I can kind of go down that road, but that still doesn't fully explain everything. And the good news is, the point of all this is we can't fully understand God. The creation cannot fully understand the Creator. And it's not the point to fully understand him. The Great Commission isn't go out, do a lot of research so you can fully understand who I am. The point is to worship God, to honor God, glorify God with your lives. And while we can't fully understand the Holy Spirit, there is things about him that is revealed in Scripture. Okay, there's a lot that we can look at. I'm going to focus on 4 points. Okay, 4 points. First, the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not an it that you can just use for your own selfish purposes. The Holy Spirit is a person who desires to have a personal relationship with you. A person who desires to have a personal relationship with you. The Holy Spirit, number two, the Holy Spirit is God. He is a part of the Trinity. He is not a lesser being than God, and he's not a lesser being than God the Father, and he's not a lesser being than God the Son. Okay? We see this, okay, when Peter challenges Ananias. It says, How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. And I can't go into right now like what's exactly going on here, but the point is Peter clearly refers to the Holy Spirit as God. Number three, the Holy Spirit is eternal. This is good news, okay? The Holy Spirit is eternal. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Basically, the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling within you and has like this battery life. Okay, it's not like the Holy Spirit's in there like, man, you are exhausting. At this rate, I'm with you for like another year, then I'm out. Okay, the Holy Spirit is eternal. So no matter where your life takes you, no matter where you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. And as his title suggests, the Holy Spirit is holy. Why is this important? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This is kind of where you get your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Why is this important? Or what's crazy about this is the fact that if you're like me, you're broken, you're messy, you got things inside that you don't want anybody to see for fear of what they might think of you. There's just a lot of pain and suffering. I mean, life happens, right, to all of us. There's a lot inside that people just don't know about. Yet in this parts of us, the dark, you know, gross parts of us, that's exactly where a holy God chooses to dwell. It's exactly where a holy God chooses to dwell. It's mind-boggling. So why is all this important? Yes, it's good. We need to understand who the Holy Spirit is, right? We need to know that, what's revealed in Scripture. However, why is this important? Let's take a moment and recap. We have the resurrected Christ offering us salvation, eternal salvation through him. And as followers of Jesus, those of us who have put our faith in him, we have a purpose. This should be great news. You have a purpose. People spend their entire lives and money and resources and energy trying to find some sense of purpose in their life. Yet as followers of Jesus, our purpose is laid out. We have been given a purpose. There's no need to search. We have it. It's fulfilled in the Great Commission to live as Christ has lived, to love God, love others, and whatever it is that you do for the glory of God. It's not just a 12-step program. And if you get off one, it's all over. You have purpose. And some of you might hear this type of purpose, and some of you out there maybe are like, yes, let's do this. And then there might be others who are like, I can't even tie my shoe. Like, how am I going to go out and change the world and love other people? And I got all this pain and hurt in my life. And I don't even feel loved. How can I love other? You know, you have all these things that are going on, and it may seem like this impossible task. But the whole point of this message is that you are not alone. You are not alone. The holy eternal God chooses to dwell within you, to empower you. And in the words of Jesus himself, we have been given something greater than the Son of God physically walking amongst us. I mean, the disciples followed him for 3 years. They saw him do all these miracles, and they were with him, and they were changed, and Jesus is leaving. He's like, I'm leaving for your benefit. Huh? Again, we are not talking about some tool to complete the job or something that can be used for our personal benefit. This is the Holy Spirit God who lives within us, who we are called to submit our entire being and will to, so that it's not my will, but thy will be done. Let's get practical with this. How different, a good question to ask, how different would your life look? Think about this. How different would your life look, would my life look, if we sought to live with this truth every moment of our lives, that a holy God dwells within you, empowering you every moment of your life? You see, it's possible. This is key. It is possible to be a Christian, to have eternal salvation through Jesus. It's possible to have the Holy Spirit dwell within you, but not be led by him daily. It's possible as a Christian to know what your purpose is, know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, but choose to try and fulfill this purpose on your own power. Instead of submitting to the Holy Spirit and seeking him as your source of life, as your source of power. The Bible reveals a lot about what a life led by the Holy Spirit is like. Kind of read through a list here. You know, it talks about the Spirit helps us with the right words to say when trying to tell others about Jesus. He is our comforter, our advisor, our encourager, and our strength. He guides us in the way we should go. He convicts us of our sins. He brings us life and freedom. And one of the more popular sections of the Bible is when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to read through a couple things here. Just pick one. Pick one that you could use today. It says the fruit of being led by the Spirit of God includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What could you use? Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. One of the greatest evidences for the resurrection of Jesus is the disciples. And it's what happened to the disciples after they received the Holy Spirit. You see, because here's the disciples following Jesus for 3 years. They've seen him do miracles, okay? They believe in him to be God. And yet when he gets arrested, I'm out of here. I don't know who that is. I mean, they know exactly what's going to happen. They've seen the Romans crucify people before. And they don't want any part of what's going to happen. And yet when Jesus comes back and reveals himself to them, and they receive the Holy Spirit, they're changed. They're empowered. They're suddenly, what once was cowards in a sense, they were bold in their faith to the point that I think, if I remember correctly, all but one died for their faith. And not just like died in prison. I'm talking crucified and hung on a cross upside down, beheaded or stoned to death. I mean, they were bold in their faith after receiving the Holy Spirit. And there are many examples. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's someone else you know of people being changed by the Holy Spirit. People who are broken and messy, just like you and me. Okay, you don't have to have certain qualifications. It's broken, messy people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, who have received the Holy Spirit, who are submitting to his will, that are radically changed and fulfilling God's purpose in their life, both within themselves and with others. I mean, to go back to my earlier example, or the silly example, I mean, without that axe, I was hopeless. I was not completing my task. There was no way I was chopping wood without any sort of tool. And how silly would it have been if my dad gives me this axe and I'm like, okay, well, instead of going to use this axe to chop wood, I'm going to go, I think I know what's best. So I'm going to actually take this axe to go try and gain an advantage as a basketball player. Want to try and guard me? It would have been dumb. And let me be clear. The Holy Spirit is not a tool. He's not a figment of our imagination or someone that we can try and use for our own purposes. The good news is for followers of Jesus, God chooses to dwell within us through the Holy Spirit to empower us for his perfect will. Now, that doesn't mean that if you start, submitting and pursuing God's will in your life, that things are going to be easy. It doesn't mean that life is suddenly going to be grand. That's going to be all sunshine and rainbows. Life is hard. The disciples submitted to the Holy Spirit, and it cost them their lives. I don't think that's something we necessarily have to worry about today, but it's not going to be easy. However, if you're anything like me, my will is anything but perfect. My will is broken. My will is sinful. My will is selfish. My will only cares about me. And if you're anything like me, saying, okay, I'm gonna pursue God's will, but I'm gonna do it on my own because I can do this. I don't need any help. I fail every time. Every time. And I will continue to fail if that is what I choose. If you take anything away, take this. If you take anything away, take this. God has revealed to us his purpose. God has clearly revealed to us his purpose. And God chooses to dwell within us to accomplish this purpose. However, it is up to us to submit and seek the Holy Spirit on a daily basis to accomplish things within ourselves, with others, that we can never accomplish on our own. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for choosing to dwell within us, Lord, to empower us to accomplish your will, Lord. Help us to submit, God, our selfish desires, Lord, and to truly seek your will in our lives. I ask that you bless these students and guide them along their path, Lord. And again, just thank you for this opportunity. Amen.